Hello everyone, my name is Jinjos, and welcome to my Pokemon anime review series. Last episode, Misty went toe-to-toe with the colossal Tentacruel, who was destroying Porta Vista due to its home being destroyed but due to construction. But her courage and fortitude go through to this giant Pokemon, and it returns to the sea with a promise that it will return if its home is disturbed again. Today we're going to be taking a look at Season 1, Episode 20, The Ghost of Maiden's Peak, where the trio will visit a town on the mainland just in time for a community festival, and Brock's love for a woman leads to a chilling adventure for our heroes. Before we dive into the episode, though, our Who's That Pokemon for today is Gastly, a Pokemon with no true form due to 95% of its body being made of a poisonous gas, and the other 5% is believed to be made of the souls of those who have died from its poisonous gas. However, it mostly appears as a black spherical mass surrounded by a purple haze. While it is often seen to have a playful personality, pulling pranks on people for fun, it can also be seen preserving and passing on the memories of loved ones who have passed away. It can create illusions, phase through solid objects, and are often found in caves or dilapidated houses. When found in a group, they will huddle together under houses' eaves to avoid their gaseous forms from blowing away. Its Pokemon Arceus Pokedex entry reads, "Gaseous and completely impalpable, also highly dangerous. Inhaling part of its poisonous body will cause one to faint instantly." Moving into the episode, we start not out with the trio, but of the statue of a fair maiden and her spirit emerging from the statue, calling out to her one true love. But it morphs into Gastly, staring directly into our souls, laughing maniacally. Not your typical start to a Pokemon episode. We move to the trio, who are finally leaving Porta Vista and heading towards the mainland. While Ash and Misty are in high spirits, poor Brock is down in the dumps, having wasted his summer adventuring and making new friends. While that may be a typical summer for kids...
For kids, summer means playing on the beach, splashing around and having fun. But for me... Summer means bathing suits and girls to wear them. Oh, now bikini season's over and I'll have to wait another year to meet a girl.
Oh, Brock, you're such a teenager. Who speaks the truth? As they arrive at Maiden's Peak, the PA system tells them that they have arrived just in time for the end of the summer festival, full of dancing, shopping, and general celebration for another wonderful summer. Brock is still down in the dumps, but a quick glance of that same beautiful young maiden we saw in the opening gets his heart pounding, but only leads to his own pounding by a group of deportees from the boat. Team Rocket makes their appearance, being pulled along in an oversized barrel behind the ship. Once they reach land, though, their future becomes bright, as they dream of picking up the loose change that people will be dropping at the festival. They've sunk a little too low, but at least they're setting realistic expectations. Before heading in, though, James also spots the beautiful young maiden, who disappears after a quick rap over the head by Jesse. Ash and Misty are having a great time, but it is when Brock is accosted by a very short old woman, who wants Brock to know that he will meet a cruel fate to an elegant young woman, not a scrawny blabbermouth like Misty. Misty quickly drags them all off. Team Rocket ventures to find loose change isn't going very well. Even their highly unnecessary magnifying glass can't spot any. James is in luck, finding a single penny on the ground, but that same short old woman makes the same prediction that a young and beautiful woman will lead him to a cruel fate. But James quickly tells her that this is nothing new for him.
I've been watching you. You're up to no good. And there's no good in your future.
Who? The police? The sheriff? The FBI?
I see a young and beautiful woman who will lead you to a cruel fate.
I don't need a fortune teller to know that. Some woman is always causing me trouble. It's a curse.
Who do you mean?
Not only is this little old woman stopping Team Rocket, but Jenny very kindly assumes that Team Rocket is simply looking for change on the ground to get it back to its owners. How thoughtful. They take off pretty quickly, though. Part of the festival is telling the story of the maiden, a woman who waited for her one true love to return from fighting in a war. When he didn't return, she never moved from that spot until she turned completely into stone. Both James and Brock are completely enamored by this beautiful woman and go out to ogle at the statue. Ash and Misty went along with this at first, but they are starting to get worried, especially when he doesn't make it back to the Pokemon Center for the rest of the night. The ghost of the maiden appears to James and Brock, telling them that she was waiting for them for so long. The next day, Jesse and the trio can't find Brock or James and soon run into each other. This leads Jesse to reciting the Team Rocket motto, doing both her and James's part. Though even in James's catatonic state, the call of the motto is just too strong. Him and Brock both burst out of one of the buildings, both in a state of euphoria, so unaware of what's going on around them, that it takes a strong electrical attack from Pikachu to knock some sense into them. The old lady appears and pins this on the maiden's ghost, and there is only one thing that can be done. Stickers! Unfortunately, they aren't free, but they fork out the dough and start sticking them all over the home and the boys. That night, though, a simple gust of wind blows them all away when the ghost appears. While Brock goes back into his trance, James is absolutely terrified, though it takes some convincing for Jesse and Meow to believe that he actually doesn't want to go. Jesse decides to take matters into her own hands and simply shoots a bazooka at the ghost. The ghost of the mainland attacks back, and his true identity is revealed, a Ghastly, who also disguised himself as the old lady. Ash steps up and decides that it's a Pokemon, so a battle will solve everything. Ghastly simply pops in the appropriate illusion to fight every Pokemon that comes at them, including a ball of yarn for Meowth, a fire extinguisher for Charmander, and the infamous moment where he combines a Blastoise and a Venusaur to make the ever-terrifying Venustoise. Overall, just a fun, unconventional battle that seems to have made an impact on me as I got super hyped when watching it. The one thing he can't defeat, though, is the sunlight. As the sun rises, he disappears. Though, in the next scene, it's dark again, so I don't see why he can't come back. We end with the actual ghost of the Banan thanking Ghastly for continuing her story, and she will see him at the next festival. With this adventure wrapped up, the trio enjoy the festival. Misty even puts down her hair for the first time. This episode is one of my all-time favorite episodes. It doesn't take itself too seriously. The focus is on Brock and James, which is an interesting pairing and one of my favorites. We meet a very unique Pokemon, one of the few that can actually speak, and overall, just a very humorous episode. If you haven't seen this episode in a while, I suggest you turn it on and just enjoy. Thank you so much for joining me for another great episode. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at Season 1, Episode 22, Bye Bye Butterfree, an episode that tugged at the heartstrings of every 12-year-old when it aired. I'll see you next time. Keep your heads up. Have a wonderful day.